You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Now, Bell Equipment wasn't the only company that dropped a bombshell on us this morning. Another one of the companies that announced the delisting conversation was Sasfin. I'm joined on the line by Sasfin's CEO, Michael Sassoon, to take a look at this. Good evening, Michael. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with the rationale behind the offer and behind the conversation.
Firstly, good evening to me, to you, and to your listeners. Thanks for having me on your show. In 2023, at the beginning of last year, we announced a strategic reset whereby we would be disposing of non-core assets, focusing on our core businesses and streamlining our business. In that regard, we've already exited some businesses, including our specialized lending business and our foreign exchange business. We are awaiting final approvals, regulatory approvals on a disposal of our capital equipment finance and commercial property finance businesses to African Bank. All of these are around backing our core businesses, which are more capital light and becoming more streamlined. And in addition to that, our top four shareholders currently own about just under 90% of the shares in Sasfin. And our two major shareholders, namely Unitas and Whippold, believe that there was an opportunity to delist the company, providing minority shareholders with the option to stay in the unlisted business or to exit at a meaningful premium to the prevailing share price, while together with management in the Sasfin Wealth business, subscribing for shares in that business, which all enables the delisting. So we think that this goes to backing our core businesses and streamlining our business and providing options to the minority shareholders.
Michael, I am struggling to hear you, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you back to my producer for a second if we can, just to see if we can get you on a better line. I definitely want to capture the best of this conversation. We're just going to shoot you back to the production team for a second. We'll be right back with you.
You are listening to Jimmy Muyaha on SAFM.
I think we do have Michael Sassoon back on the line. Michael, are you back with us?
Yes, I am. Jimmy, how's the line now?
Oh, that's so much better. Now we can get into it. That's fantastic. So you were telling me before that the rationale is not a new thing. There was a lot of discussions that happened, and obviously where the business stands at the moment, it kind of makes sense to move the business in this direction after having disposed of those non-core assets. The offer itself at 30 Rand or so a share is quite a significant premium if we look at the volume-weighted average price over the last 30 days. Do you want to take me through how the offer will work and how those terms are that have been proposed?
Yeah, so essentially we had a valuation done, an indicative valuation, which supported the offer. What will now have to happen is that the offer price will be subject to a fair and reasonable assessment by an independent provider. And hold on one second, please. It will be supported by a reasonable price assessment by an independent provider, and that will be taken through to shareholders to vote on.
Michael, when we look at the offer, are there any specific suspensive conditions that would have to be met in order for the offer to go through? I know there's a couple of shareholders involved. There's a couple of moving parts around almost a phase one and a phase two taking up additional stakes. Are there other suspensive conditions that you can share at this point?
Yes, so there probably will be regulatory approval that is catered for in the offer, and then it will require shareholder approval. There are various transactions, including a subscription for shares in the Sasfin Wealth business, as well as the offer to minorities. Those all have to be concluded, but we don't anticipate any challenge there because the salient terms have all been agreed by the key participants, and those are the key conditions underlying the offer.
Michael, when we look at the timing of the offer, I mean, obviously the market reacting as positively as it has is a testament to the fact that they agree with this. There is obviously that ongoing SARS case where some investors might say it's because of the SARS case. And obviously that wouldn't have been a decision that would factor in into such a big decision to delist. Can you just put some put those rumors to bed, so to speak?
Yeah, so the damages claim against us is ongoing, and per our previous communication to the market, we've taken legal advice and we are very confident in our case. And that's got no bearing on this opportunity. We've been, our strategic reset, it was initiated at the beginning of 2023. The SARS claim was initiated at the beginning of this year, 2024. And the delisting has been something which we've been considering and working on with our advisors since the middle of last year. It takes a bit of time to put it all together and to get to this point. But the decision was taken completely independent of the SARS action.
Of course. Michael, how do we now make sense of this? How do we process this? Because nobody wants to see Sasfin go. I imagine your clients must be happy with the decision that you're making in the best interests of their business and of your business. But from a investor point of view, many investors out there would not want to see Sasfin delist. Is there an alternative to be pursued here? Is there any hope that the listing will remain in any form?
Well, we obviously, via the offer, are hopeful that the listing will no longer remain, that the delisting will go through. And we've been a member of the JSE. We're listed on the JSE for a very long time, since 1987. It's been a good story for us, by and large. But over the last few years, our free float has just become tighter as our largest shareholders have accumulated more shares in the company. And it doesn't really make sense for the company as a whole and for our major shareholders, as well as for the minority shareholders, to remain in this current structure with the listing. And there just isn't appetite in the market from investors and the large institutions for the small to mid-cap companies with limited free floats. So we think that this serves everyone's benefit.
Similar sentiments to those shared by Anthony Clark just before we had this phone call, Michael. This does, of course, not mean that Sasfin will no longer exist. Sasfin as a business will continue to thrive and continue to service its customers. Are there plans to expand the Sasfin Wealth business and sort of continue to carve out that path? Michael? Oh dear, I believe we've just lost Michael, but we get the gist of the conversation. Thank you so much for those insights, Michael. We'll see if we can get you back on the line. That's Michael Sassoon, CEO at Sasfin, who joined me to take a look at the delisting of Sasfin following the announcement that we got via SENS this morning.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.